If you're looking to experience more pleasure in your life and a deeper level of connection with yourself and or your intimate partners in 2023, let's work together. Hello, I'm Stacey O, maitre d' of Finger Food Podcast and Holistic Sexuality Coach. You can apply to work with me by visiting my website, www.stacyogorman.com, or by clicking the link on this podcast bio.
Welcome to Finger Food. I'm your maitre d', Stacey O, and I'm here to serve you intimate conversations around sexuality and pleasure. On the menu is a selection of heart-to-hearts with people who vulnerably share their stories, insights, and perspectives. This podcast is about sex and so much more. We explore connection, letting go of judgment, and accepting ourselves exactly as we are. Let's dine.
In this intimate conversation, I chat to Te Awa Rangi. Awa is a director, writer, and actor. At the age of 16, Awa received her first accolade for Best Short Film at the Roxy Film Competition for Black Dog, which she wrote and directed. She received recognition for her co-creation of TVNZ's Born This Way, Awa's Story, which received Best Director at TVNZ Awards. Awa was nominated for Queer Māori Representative of the Year for her activism in the trans community at New Zealand's LGBT Awards in 2019. Outside of work, she loves oil painting, horse riding, crying to John Frusciante, had to look that one up, and shaking her titties to A.G. Cook and Future. In this episode, Awa shares her thoughts on the constructs of gender and how if it didn't matter so much to society, she probably wouldn't even call herself trans. She speaks about how we need to decolonize views around sexuality and gender. She talks of being bullied for being misgendered as a child, the absurdity of school uniforms and gendered bathrooms, her whore era, being on Grindr, fetishization, getting sexy with friends, porn stars with giant schlongs, and now being in a fruitful, passionate relationship, and so much more. It's great to have you here at the table. Let's get started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yay! Welcome, Awa.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Such a pleasure. Oh. It really means a lot.
Yay!
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Okie dokie.
So, first and foremost, where are you from and what's your family background?
Ko Kaurana ki te maunga, ko Ngaruroro te Awa, ko Kupataki Tukumarai, ko Ngati Kahungunu te iwi, ko Kararaina Beaufort Tukumama, ko Te Roira Clive David Puna, Tuku Papa, ko Te Aorangi Te Roira Puna, or Awa, you can call me, Tuku Ingoa. I grew up in Kapiti, Raumati South, which is lovely coastal village, and like about 45 minutes away from Wellington, so that's where I'm from. My dad is from Hastings, Wairoa area. And my mum is from Pukerua Bay, so that's where I'm from.
Beautiful.
I Moved to Wellington at the end of high school. So I guess I'm also from there.
Mm-hmm.
I lived there for like three to four years while I was studying at drama school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved straight up here, like basically when I finished. And I've been living up in Auckland ever since.
Beautiful.
So that's where general idea of where I'm from.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgey.
Yeah.
And what are your pronouns and what do they mean to you?
My pronouns are she, her. Also, recently, like, I'm okay with they, them as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, yeah, my perception on gender is just, like, it means nothing but also, everything at the same time to, you know, depending on who you are. So you can call me whatever. Because, yeah, but I guess she, her, they, them. That's my pronouns.
Mm, yeah. Beautiful. And when you're saying, like, gender means nothing and, like, not necessarily anything to you, but also know that it's important to those around you, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, totally. So I guess my perception on gender is, like, that, you know, you should be able to be whoever you want to be, no matter how masculine you are, how feminine you are, like whatever way you want to present yourself, just present yourself in that way. And people, I feel like it's people's responsibility to respect who you are as an individual and as a person and call you just what you want to be called. So, yeah. I love, like, meeting people on a very individual level and just wanting to know what they personally want to be, you know, how they want to be identified. And with me, I feel like gender is totally a construct. We know this. It's been talked about.
Yes.
But I feel like, yeah, like gender almost... It'd be amazing if it didn't even exist, because I feel like the only reason why it does exist is so we can kind of pigeonhole people into certain roles and, you know, put labels on them so that people can wrap their heads around what gender, what, you know, what who this person is. You know, like the whole idea of, like, women are the ones who look after the kids, they clean the kitchen, all those backwards old views, and then the men are the breadwinners, they do the muscle work, I guess, and bring the money home. But I feel like, you know, things are changing and you don't need to be defined by those things anymore, because we're a totally, everyone is so different. And, you know, whatever you want to do, just do it. If you want to be the one who brings the money home, you bloody do that. And if you want to be in that kitchen, you go in that bloody kitchen. No one's going to bloody judge you. Yeah.
Yes.
But, yeah, personally, I would love to do both. I want to go in the bloody kitchen.
Yes, same.
Like, it doesn't mean that I'm a woman, even though I am. But, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's my perception on gender. I, like, often say that if gender wasn't so, like, ingrained, like the idea of, like, the binaries, like male and female, weren't so ingrained in society, I probably wouldn't even call myself trans, because it wouldn't matter so much.
Yeah.
And I've found that the longer I have been, like, have been out as a trans woman, the more comfortable I feel, like, expressing, like, the more masculine parts of myself, you know. Yeah. It's nice to feel like that. Like, yeah. I feel like before colonization as well, like, gender didn't matter as much to Māori. Like, it wasn't so, you know. And so did, like, sex wasn't tapu as well. Like, people just had that. And we realized that, like, you know, it's good to be, like, pleasured, and it's not something that should be so taboo. It's a beautiful thing, and it should be, yeah, admired. But yeah, I guess that's my perception on gender
overall.
Yeah,
that's so interesting what you're saying around, like back in the day with Māori, like sex was revered and gender was less of an important issue. And do you think that through colonization that has been warped?
Definitely. I think it definitely has. We've like kind of as the LGBT community in Aotearoa, we've like reclaimed the word takatāpui, which originally, from my knowledge, I think it comes from like an old myth about two Māori men who like fall in love, and we've kind of reclaimed that. Mm-hmm. But Elizabeth Kerekere, she runs for the Green Party. She kind of helped reclaim that word for an umbrella term for the LGBT community, and the word whakawahine, which basically means trans woman, which is how I identify. And you know, like a lot of those things that would have seemed taboo to Christianity when it came over, it would have been burnt. It would have been like the waiata, the sculptures, the art, just a lot of things. So I think over time, like now I feel like it, as a society, we have like a responsibility to decolonize all of those ideas and kind of get back to our roots and realize that, yeah, none of those things you should ever feel ashamed about, and you should embrace it and, yeah, have fun how you want, express yourself how you want, and yeah. I've definitely like been on a massive journey of realizing all of those things.
Yeah.
Like when I was younger, I like, you know, the binary was the only thing that I knew. I grew up basically, I mean, I would say male presenting as a little kid, but not really, because I would only wear like Canterbury's and then tight thermals on top and Converse. Like, that was literally the only thing I wore in primary school, because I didn't want to be, you know, like I was like gender neutral vibes, because I didn't want to be put into the box of being a boy. And of course, I like being out with my mother, everyone would always be like, oh, you have such a beautiful little girl, you know, and I'd be like, oh my god, that's so offensive, but that feels amazing when you say that. I wonder why.
but wait a minute
I resonate with that. And so, because like when I was really young, I don't think I understood the idea of being trans. I knew that I wanted to be a woman, but I didn't understand how I would even possibly get there, because it wasn't even, you know, I wasn't born like that. And I was just constantly running it through my head. I was like, I felt so alone, like thinking that I was the only person in the entire world that felt like this. I was like, I'd wake up and be like, why is everyone, does everyone feel comfortable in themselves? And I'm the only person in this, out of seven freaking point whatever billion people, trillion, I don't bloody know, that feels like this. Like, it felt so weird. I was like, fuck you, God. If you're up there, fuck you. Because, like, you know, I wouldn't have chosen, it's the truth that I wouldn't have chosen to be like this at that age if I actually did have a choice.
Yeah.
Like, why would I want to make this hard for myself, you know? It's, it's really, I don't want to have to deal with all the bullying and stuff as a kid, and, like, the teachers coming in and being, like, you know, misgendering me as a girl. Well, actually, gender confirming me as a girl. Yes. And then the whole class being like, they're actually boy. That's so funny. And just like all the bullying from stupid primary school kids at the time. I remember like my friend always telling me, she was like, so you're gay, right? And I was like, no, I'm not gay. Like, I don't like the idea of, like, me being a male liking other men, because I don't feel like I'm a male. And that's why I didn't want to associate with being gay, I think, because that's just not who I am as a gay man.
Mm.
But she was like, but you like guys, right? And I'm like, yeah, I like guys, yeah. And she's like, well, duh, you are then. And I was like, no, I'm fucking not. I am not gay. But yeah, I think when I realized what being trans was, I was like, this makes so much sense to me. Like it resonates with me. I remember my mum showing me a magazine, and I think it was like a NZ magazine, and it had a trans woman on the front. And at the time she was like, I was really young, and she was like, you know, that's a, she was born a boy, right? Which obviously she's just a woman, but she was like, and I was like, oh my God, that's so buzzy. She's so beautiful.
Mm.
Like, is that a possibility that I could possibly live a life as myself? Because before that, my child mind was like, okay, so if I want to be who I am, crazy plans like in my head, I will run away, dye my hair, got moved to a different city. I need to do this before I'm 15, before I hit puberty. Change my hair color, everything, go on the hormones, if I even knew what hormones were back then.
Mm.
And leave my family, leave my friends, just change my name, and like then I can be myself, kind of thing. Because I was never I never thought I'd have the courage to, like, you know, come out to my 3 older brothers, my mom, my dad, all of my friends who knew me as Te Awarangi or CJ. So that was my plan. But when my mum showed me the magazine, I was like, oh, so my dads were coming up. Because I honestly thought I'd have to live the rest of my life as a dude, you know.
Mm.
Like, I also really have always loved filmmaking. That's, like, the idea of storytelling is just so beautiful. And I thought that I would, like, my dream was, like, that I would become, like, some kind of filmmaker, but that I would have, like, the only representation I had of that was Peter Jackson. At the time, I was so obsessed with him as a kid, so I was like, fuck, and now I do not want to look like that when I'm older. Jesus Christ. I'm really going to have to sacrifice so much if I want to make films. yeah.
That's so true.
It's so true. Yeah, he was like the only representation that I had. But yeah, it turns out you don't have to do that, which is really good.
No, you don't have to look like Peter.
Yeah, you don't need
to. You can pave your own way.
You can pave your own way. Yeah. And then, yeah, I guess I went to primary school, Ramachisau school. When I went to high school, we had, like, uniforms, mm-hmm. like girl and boy uniforms. And obviously, like, I remember actually going into the uniform shop, like, before starting school for the year. I went in with my dad, and she like mistakes me for a girl, and she gets the skirt and the long ass skirt and everything, like the cinched blouse, and hands it to me. And then my dad's like,
he's a boy.
And then I was like, okay then. So end up putting on the freaking shorts and like this extremely oversized blouse, shirt, whatever, starts at school and felt so uncomfortable. Like, just like, you know, what am I wearing? It feels like I'm wearing like someone else's skin, kind of thing. This is not nice. And I think I mentioned to you, I had this like art case that I would like carry around, and it was like a massive A3 art case, and I would use it to literally hide the fact that I was wearing shorts, so that people like might actually think that I was like, a girl. It's so funny. Yeah, I was like terrified. I would have usually run off to like the film department and stuff to as escapism. I think that's what I love so much about film is like being able to create your own world. I would like also act in my films, get my friends to act in my films, use my parents' camcorder, and mostly about vampires because I was so obsessed with Twilight. It started off as that in primary school, and then and you know, my character was called Alex, like a very gender neutral name, and in my head she was definitely a girl, and like I could do whatever I wanted with that character and like express myself how I wanted. And that was a really beautiful thing. And it was, of course, about vampires transitioning and stuff. At the time, I had no clue what it was about. But looking back, I'm like, oh, it's like, you know, your life really does, like, show through your work, I guess.
Yes. So
so that was my early experience in high school. I remember this... this one time I was like Snapchatting this dude from like a neighboring school, like in Otaki, I think. And I forgot how we actually met, but I just remember like we were Snapchatting and stuff, and we were keen to hang out. And I hadn't told him that I was trans, but I was just really, well, no, I hadn't even told him that I was a dude because I hadn't even come out yet. Right. Mm. But I was very like, dressed gender neutral. I looked like a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So then we caught up, and like it was basically a date. We went to the movie theaters. We were like horny little teenagers. So like we just like kissed in the movie theaters. Oh. And then like and then it escalated so much. Like he was like, I was like year 10, he was year 12. Like me fully like, you know, touching him in the movie theaters. Yes. I don't even remember what the movie was. Anyway, I was like, you should come back to my house, like to my parents' house. We'll like have lunch or something. Start going to my parents' house, and like we stop at the park, like go on the swings. And then I end up, that was like my first sexual encounter, I guess. Yes. I like ended up giving him head in the bushes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes. I know. Yes. How old were you?
I was like year 10. So yeah. What's that? Like 15, 14?
Yeah.
And then.
So good.
I know, it's so funny. But he still didn't know that I was like trans. And that I think I didn't realize at the time like how much of a responsibility I had to him and myself for my safety to tell him that. And you know, I didn't even think about like none of that stuff I just knew about kind of thing. But looking back, I'm like, oh my God, I could have like really put myself in so much danger doing that stuff. And then anyway, like go home for the night, we're like Snapchatting, blah blah blah, and then this girl who's like a few years above me, probably like one of his friends, like she messages me and she's like, oh my gosh, like this dude, he thinks you're a girl. And I was like stressing out so much. I was like, oh my god, like this is crazy. Like it's just something that, you know, like a cisgendered person would not even have to worry about at all.
Totally.
And you know, I just hadn't thought about all that stuff. Like I was just living so in the moment and really enjoying myself.
Yeah.
And like, you know, but it was, yeah. So yeah, during high school it was like very interesting. Like I feel, so I came out in like year 11, and it felt like a beautiful thing to be able to like wear the school uniform and stuff and like feel as myself. I remember,
amazing.
Yeah.
This was like a year after that incident or that first BJ experience.
Yeah, first BJ experience. Yeah, so I came to school and I was feeling totally myself. Like, obviously I felt like eyes glued to me and the whispers and like, what the heck is she doing in a skirt now? This is, well, this, she looks different to last year. And at the time I was like, I think I was the only trans person that I know of. Like, there were probably trans people who just didn't come out or whatever, or only had told their close friends maybe. Yeah, but my friends were like, I remember the first time before dance class, they were like, oh, I come into the girls' changing room. Like, yeah, because what I would do before that is put on my gear underneath my what's it called, uniform.
Okay, yeah.
And then so when I started dance class or PE, I would not go into any of the changing rooms because I didn't feel comfortable in the guys' changing room because it just didn't feel like me, or the girls' changing room because, you know, obviously people didn't think I was a girl. And then, yeah, I would just wear it under my uniform and then take it off. And, like, the amount of days I spent, like, absolutely freaking boiling, like, in the summer because I was wearing so many layers kind of thing. Yeah, but they were like, come in the changing room, and it was like the first time I was like, oh my god, that was really nice.
Oh my god, there's just so many moments there that, like, you know, getting your uniform with your dad, like your first experience with giving a blowjob, like the school bathrooms, like so many experiences that you have had that a cis person would never have to go through or never understand, know?
Yeah.
And that's like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, not even I understood it at the time, you know? Like, I was still wrapping my head around what being trans was.
Yes.
And I didn't actually, like, come out on my own accord. It was someone else, someone, like, the only close friend that I had at the time actually came out for me on my own Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
was that like a favor or was that?
I mean, I guess it was, because then I had no choice but then to admit it to everyone, because, like, I wasn't going to lie if they said, you know, is it true kind of thing, because it was true. So, yeah, I didn't come out on my own accord. It was like before, the talent contest. I think I was singing something like John Legend or something silly like that. And then someone comes up to me and they're like, oh, I am so proud of you. I'm like, oh, that's really sweet. What for? And then they're like, that post that you did.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
And I was like,
no. It was on your Facebook page.
Yeah, on my Facebook page.
What?
And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you like telling yourself that you're trans, like, to the world. And I was like, oh my god, what are you talking about? And yeah, so she had written this entire post, and it's because we like had a falling out.
What? This which is really complex.
Yeah, it was very complex. Like, she had a hard like home life and stuff, and we were kind of each other's like close friends before that, but yeah. It came out of like a fight that we had, and then she came out. But yeah, it was like, in the end, like, I thought it was going to be like a terrible thing. I ended up like bawling my eyes out when I found out that the post was up. But then I just decided to go with it and just like be honest, be myself, because people were coming up to me and being like, nah, you're like, good on you for like acknowledging who you are. Like, there's nothing to be ashamed amazing. Of like, just yeah. And then yeah, that's when I came to school in the uniform.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. And I think, and then I was like, okay, well, I'll start taking hormones now at like 15 16.
Mm-hmm. And were your parents supportive of that?
Yeah I remember when I first told my mum, so my friend was the only person who I told, and then she actually came with me to the doctors. Like, it was a big step, a very big step to take without any parental consent or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just goes into the doctors to see my GP, and like explained to her, look, I really want to start hormones. And she kind of says, like, I support you, like, good on you. Amazing. Like, we are going to need parental consent though, so you, so tell your parents at some point, the sooner the better, because otherwise puberty will kick in more and more.
Yeah.
So then one night, I think my mum and my dad were having like an argument about something, and she like drives to the beach to get some fresh air, and like her halfway through, like, you know, through an argument, like with dad, like already not in the greatest place, I just drop a bloody another bomb, and I'm like, it's okay, mum. By the way, I don't know if, by the way, I should probably tell you, I don't feel like I'm not a boy. And then she like kind of wipes her tears and she looks up and she's like, honey, I've always known. Like, it's okay. And that's kind of where we decided to start that journey. It took a while for my dad to come round. Like a wee while. I usually feel like when a trans person is transitioning, like everyone around them is also transitioning as well. You know, some parents even feel like they're losing someone, which is not true at all. But you know, to them it feels real, feels like that. So yeah, it took him a while to get his head around it. Same as my brothers. They had already left home. They're like 11 years older than me, like the next oldest one from me. So you can imagine what that was like growing up.
Wow.
He's like throw me up into the skylight. Like as a kid, I'd always remember. That was actually really fun. That was the fun part. But then the bullying and stuff was not the fun part. They were like such, they're such bros, you know, growing up with. Like, surfers vibes, skaters. So it was, yeah, that was interesting growing up. I knew that them, like the shit that I would get from them was actually coming from a place of like wanting to protect me and wanting like me to fit in so that I wouldn't get bullied by other people. So like they were kind of preparing me because they were a few years older, they knew what school was like, you know? So it was coming from a place of like, it was coming from a place of love. And now I have like the best connection with them ever.
Amazing.
At some point, my mum like sat my dad and my brothers down and was like, look, like you guys acting like this is so fucking childish. Like, this is literally the difference between our wanting to be here and not wanting to be here. So fucking pull your head in and get your shit together. Like, yeah, I know it's a big deal, but it's not a big deal.
Amazing.
And, yeah.
Your mom is a legend.
Nah, she's so awesome. She's been, like, always had my back. I mean, my whole family has, but, yeah, she's been, yeah. Such an amazing person.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. this is a journey.
Yeah, it is a journey.
This is a journey.
I guess when, when I left high school, I moved into Wellington and I amazingly got like a place in Toi Whakaari, which I kind of applied like on a whim. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, oh, I probably won't get in, but I'll apply. Ended up applying a day late. Just been like, oh, I probably shouldn't get in. I probably shouldn't even do the application now because it's going to be a day late. And then I was like, no, I'll just give it a shot. My friend's mum, like, convinced me, like, no, do it. Like, just go ahead. Like, what's the worst that can happen? So I did it.
So, sorry, is Te Whakaari film school?
It's a drama school.
Drama school.
Yeah, it's a drama school in Wellington. So, yeah, ended up applying. And then, yeah, amazing, like, got a spot there. So
amazing.
I went there. It was an amazing journey to meet so many different kinds of people and, like, having to spend 3 years with them. Mm. And, like, you become so close, like, family, and just, yeah, know each other, like, the back of your hand kind of thing. That's when I, like, entered my whore era, when yes. I started, like, left high school, went into the city. I was like, yes, oh my god, Grindr's a thing. Let's do this.
Yes. Yeah, like,
it's pretty, yeah. So I started, like, seeing guys, like, very different types of guys as well, like some older men, some my same age, and what's it called, yeah, that was really interesting. Like, I like was, because, like, during high school, like, I hadn't had that many, like, sexual experiences, like, and when I did, like, I was always someone's secret. Like, they didn't want to express to anyone else that they, like, liked me, and I always felt like I was being, like, fetishized. Like, I was only wanted for, like, sex, and that was, like, felt so objectifying kind of thing. There was, like, one crush that I had in year 13 who was, like, also such a close friend. And then, you know, like, after parties would, like, just cuddle or something or spoon, and it was, like, very sweet and, like, a tender relationship.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I had a really big crush on them, and I remember, like, letting them know one night, and they were like, hey, look, I just don't know if this is gonna work, like, I like this other person. And that was, like, my first experience of, like, rejection, like, from someone that I really liked. And I was like, ow, that hurts so bad. And then I went home and listened to Young Lean, Agony, just, like, crying my eyes out, yes. Like, really tipsy. I know, but now we're, like, really, really good friends, and everything's so chill. But it was so,
yeah.
At the time, it all feels so real.
Oh, my
know?
God.
Like, you know, you feel like the whole pain. World, like, you know, is going to explode kind
absolutely.
Of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but, yeah, when I went to Te Whakaari, like, I guess sexual experiences, because my close friends, like, never really wanted to, like, hear about or never really asked about my sexual experiences. I guess it's because it did feel like taboo, like the idea of being on Grindr, like, I didn't want to be associated with being a gay man kind of thing. So it did feel taboo, and I thought they'd never want to hear about it, and I think I had, like, some shame around talking about sex and stuff, which is so different to now, because I will literally talk yeah. about sex all
she's
the
on a
time.
Podcast talking
yeah
about
she's
sex.
On the podcast talking about bloody sex right now, so.
I am interested, because I feel like that I haven't actually ever thought about this, but as a trans woman being on Grindr, like, are you on other apps? Like, I've literally never thought yeah. about that before. And, like, that's another whole boxing scenario,
totally,
isn't it?
Totally, totally. Because Grindr usually is for, like, gay men.
Yeah.
Like, but then, and, like, some parts of Grindr, you're like, oh, my God. Like, when I first got on there, like, I had a photo of myself on there. Some people don't even have photos. Mm. It's just, like, they're very D-Lo, like, a lot of straight men on there. Yep. I mean, you know, they call themselves straight, but yes. they're like, look, I'm straight, but the guy I fucked last night wasn't. Yes. Yeah, so when I first got on there, like, you know, so many messages, and I was like, and a lot of people that I would never catch up with ever, just out of not being attracted to them or mm-hmm. whatever. And a lot of people, like, fetishizing you and
okay.
stuff. And then every now and then you'll meet, like, a really genuinely nice person who, like, actually wants to have like a actual relationship, like a friendship or relationship. You know, some people meet their partners on there. But I guess most yeah, it just depends. Like, I think it, in some ways, it is inclusive of, yes, of the trans community, Grindr, but
yeah,
also not. Like, depends who you talk to, probably. Like, why are these trainees on here, kind of thing. Yeah.
Interesting.
Also on Tinder as well. But that was like a buzzy thing as well, because I feel like I did have, like, really, I made a lot of friendships on Tinder, which was so lovely. But I would always, I didn't know whether to put on my profile whether I was trans or not, or to, like, put it into, like, my conversation, or, like, is it the first thing that I say when I say hi? Because people don't usually, like, say, hi, I'm a cis person, and I'm straight.
No.
You know, like, no. But it's something you actually have to think about, like, which felt so shitty. You just feel so othered, I guess.
Yeah.
And you never know where to, like, bring it in. And if you start a really good conversation and the conversation's going really well, and then suddenly you're like, okay, we've been talking for, like, a day and a half, I should probably mention it now, you mention it, and then suddenly they stop talking to you. Or, you know, it's just, it's...
Wow.
Like, that's all right, but it's kind of feels shitty.
I even find it weird, like, on Bumble or any app when, like, people have stated their gender, like woman or man, and you can, like, yeah. I don't know, I just think I find that weird now. Yeah. I'm like, why do we have to proclaim that?
Yeah, because, like,
I'm confused.
Yeah.
We're all just humans on here, but then yeah, people, I guess
it seems like some people just want to, like, jump straight to the point, and they're like, yeah, you know, people have preferences, but it is like, why not just meet someone as they are?
As they are,
and
yeah.
Then, like, don't you want to get to know someone that you might, like, begin a relationship with anyway?
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing, because I would say that I'm straight probably a few years ago. But yes, now I'm like, I don't care whatever genitalia someone has. Like, I can't predict whether I'm going to like someone or not like someone based on their gender.
Mm.
Like, I think those concepts are really ingrained in a lot of us, and, like, to label yourself as that, it kind of puts you in a box, and then if you go outside of it, it's like you're lying to people you told, like,
yes,
that you're straight, kind of thing. So, yeah. So next topic on sexuality.
Yes.
What am I?
Who am I?
Yeah, yeah.
What am I?
Who am I? What am I? Where am I?
Sorry, one moment. I'm going to blow my nose. wow.
Nice. I've just been swallowing mine. No.
Usually I would, but, like, we're friends.
You can hear it in the mic.
We're all friends here.
Yeah.
Well, that was intense.
Okay. Who am I? What am I?
Who am I? What
sexuality.
Am I? Where am I?
What is life?
What is life? Yeah. So I guess, yeah, where were we?
You were about to dive into sexuality.
Oh, yeah. Sexuality. I guess I kind of covered it. Like, yeah, I would say that I was straight, but also I don't want to hold myself to that because I, you know, sometimes like, oh, one second.
Mm-hmm.
You were so attractive, and, you know, like, I don't know.
Yes,
and
totally.
I don't expect to know, and I don't know to know. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
I don't know, and that's all right with me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
it's ever evolving.
Yeah.
You can't put you in a box.
Yeah, I guess. During, like, that time, it was weird that it was, like, you know, sex was, like, something I didn't really talk about to my friends. But my friends were all, like, straight and cis, which is, when you're around that, you feel, like, you know, like, I was kind of grouped in as, like, the clown and, like, the one who always, like, told the jokes and, like, it didn't feel like I was seen as someone who could be, like, sexual, like, which was really dumb. And that's why it was so beautiful when I, like, started making, like, relationships with people who didn't fetishize me and like actually saw me as a person who they wanted to spend time with as well as like have fun with. That was really beautiful. When I started work at HOSPO, it was so funny. I had like these two co-workers who we were all just like friends, like so was one of their friends also like would come drink at the bar all the time as well. And then one night, like I took MD with one of my co-workers who was gay, apparently. Mm-hmm. This is why I say don't label yourself. And then we took MD, and then, you know, when you like just become so lovey-dovey and like,
yes.
you're like, oh my God, I fucking love you, bitch.
I fucking love you.
Yeah.
So, I have never loved you more.
Yeah. And we like were drinking in this bar which was our friends, which like they closed to the public at a certain time, but we were like still going, like all of us.
Yes.
Smoking inside and whatever. And then we were just like suddenly touching legs, and I was like, hold on. And like we were looking into each other's eyes, just like instantly, like, yeah, we're getting with each other kind of thing. We go back to mine, we're like, have some fun. And then he says to me, he's like, oh, I've actually always really, really liked you.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's news. I was like, that's so, yeah, I didn't really know what to say at the time because I just saw him totally as a friend. So,
yes.
Like seeing him in this light was like new for me. But then everything else in the past started to make sense. Like when he was like, oh, I think I actually like women as well. Like it all kind of like, I think he was hinting me at some stages and it made sense why he was always so awkward around me. But I thought at first that it was because he didn't like me.
Oh.
And we just like had very similar humor and we'd get along so well. But yeah, that was really sweet. And then it's so like us group of four, we like were sitting at a table once and then we realized that we had like all gotten with each other on separate occasions. And we were like, it was really nice to like have like a group of friends and there's four of you and you know, like that the sex and like the fun stuff isn't like very deep and you can still be like really good friends and still have fun and stuff.
Yes.
And like one of the dudes, he was Colombian and the same thing happened where we had like fun and he he was actually so amazing in bed. And like this, I like was trying new things. Like we like watched porn together.
Hot.
And which was so hot. And then he told me that he was a porn star back over in Colombia.
Oh my God.
And like he wouldn't give me his name, like his like porn star name, which was, I was like, please give it to me. I just
want to watch that.
You can't tell me
and
then
can we watch it now?
Yeah, let's watch it. He honestly, I think he had the biggest thing that I've ever seen. It was like a literal horse shot.
Oh my God. I would be petrified.
I was petrified.
I can't.
I was like, look, I don't know if let's just keep it simple today. You know what? I don't know if I'm ready to like to end up in like in hospital
with my legs, God.
Not being able to walk. But yeah,
that's hectic.
It was really sweet, like us four just being like, no way, we've all like, you know, A got with B and C and D and then D got with A and it was just like,
oh my gosh, amazing.
That was a really funny experience and it's where I felt like I learned a lot about like not, like sex being a beautiful thing but not, not like taking it too seriously and like, yeah, the idea of like, polyamory where it's like you have partners but you don't you're not monogamous, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was an interesting experience. I think overall though, like I am someone who really does like monogamy.
Yeah.
Like probably because I'm so possessive. But also I was talking to someone the other night and they were like talking about a situation they were having with their boyfriend and they were like, God,
like, he did this thing, but it's not even bad, but I feel so jealous and possessive. And I was like, honey, you're not. You're just human. Oh. And she was like, that is the best thing anyone has ever said to me.
It's true.
And I was like, yeah, I'm basically Oprah. Like, I will just spew out these things. And just, it just comes from being wise.
I'm a wealth of wisdom.
Yeah. It just comes from me, I guess. No.
Come to me whenever you need inspirational quotes.
Also therapy, because I've definitely got everything sorted out.
I'm a whole human.
Yeah, but I feel like the idea of polyamory and like is great. Like, I love the idea of it.
Yes.
And I feel like I could do it, but then as soon as I know, as soon as I'm thrown into it, if that ever happens, I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
I'm too, I mean, I guess it's just whatever floats your boat, right?
Yeah. I'm like in the same camp as you. I'm like, I wholeheartedly am like, yes to polyamory.
Yeah,
like, this is so admirable. And like, you have to be able to like, give and receive so much love and really be able to like look at yourself and like check your jealousy and check your possessiveness and all of that throughout. And I almost think it's like a life's work. If you're going to be polyamorous, you're dedicated to relating on a whole nother level.
And like being extremely comfortable in yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not comfortable in myself. I'm like super insecure. So I've got to like figure some of those stuff out before I ever think of even doing anything like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Comfy in yourself or be willing to do the work to be comfy in yourself consistently, which is hectic. Yeah. I'm already doing enough, you know?
When I first like
exhausting.
Moved up to Auckland, I started work on this TV show and then ended up beginning a relationship. Like, I always found him so attractive and like would like kiki on set sometimes, but we were both really awkward around each other. And then one of the people on set was like, he wants to ask you out. And I was like, oh, that is so sweet, what the hell, like, ask you out on a date. And I was like, that's so sweet, but why hasn't he done it yet? Like, all talk, no walk, you know. And then that same day he like asked me out, and that was a really beautiful start to like a friendship and relationship, I guess. And then found out that he was polyamorous.
Okay.
And my whole head went like, oh my God, what the heck? Like, what do I even do with this information?
Oh my
God. What does that even mean? It means he doesn't like me at all. It means that I mean absolutely nothing kind of thing.
I'm not enough.
Yeah. I'm not enough. Fuck. yeah, but that was like an interesting journey as well. I was like, could I do this? And then I was like, no. And then I was like, does that mean that we're partners, or like, is it, because there's no label on it, I guess like it means nothing, am I just like a object to him? Like, it really does make you think about all of those things that you're like, you're using that as an excuse. You would be in a monogamous, you just want to fuck everyone, don't you? You would be in a monogamous relationship with someone else, just not me.
It's me, isn't it?
But that was interesting. And then amazing. That's why they say don't fuck the crew as well, because once you have, there's no going back. Like, on set, I mean, he probably didn't even feel awkward, but I always felt awkward. I was like, oh my God, he's talking to...
Oh no. No, your work day's ruined.
Not actually, but you know, I guess it like makes things a little more awkward, and you're do we talk about this? Like, what are we, kind of thing.
Don't fuck the crew. Don't fuck your flatmates.
Don't fuck your flatmates. Don't fuck your co-workers.
Don't fuck your co-workers.
Or your boss.
No, don't do it.
Just don't.
Just
don't. Stay away.
Okay, I want to know, because we want to keep it to a certain time frame, I would like to know a few things before we get to our final question.
Yeah.
One is... are you in relationship now?
Yes, I am.
And what does that look like?
It's such a beautiful relationship. We started going out at the end of last year. We've been like friends for 4 years. We like had a fling ages ago when I was living in Wellington. And I would say that's one of like the relationships that I had down there, where I was like, oh my God, this person actually sees me as like me kind of thing, and isn't like fetishizing me or like making me feel like icky when we finish having sex, like not just running off afterwards kind of thing, treating me, and then, yeah, we've just been like friends since then. He like had a partner during then, and he like helped me on my film. He's amazing. Like amazing in the film world, and such a beautiful creative. Anyway, when I went back down to Wellington during lockdown, which was kind of like halfway through last year, we just like caught up again as friends, and then like instantly hit it off, like our humor, like we just were pissing ourselves the whole night, and it was so beautiful to like reconnect. Instantly hit it off, hooked up straight away, and then like didn't leave each other's sight for about like 3 weeks or whatever. Just like, I swear I basically moved into his flat. His flatmates were like, oh my God, this bitch better start paying rent. yeah, but that was really beautiful. I feel like at the beginning of that relationship, because I have had quite a lot of like dudes, you know, like not amazing relationships. I feel like it started off with me being quite guarded, mm-hmm. and me not feeling like I would deserve his love, mm-hmm. and when he told me, like literally the first morning after we caught up, he was like, you do realize I've like always liked you, eh? And I was like, oh, that's really sweet, what do you mean by that?
Elaborate. I need more information.
Receipts. And he was like, and like thinking back now, it all makes sense, like it, like, yeah, just all the messages like would send, and like I'd always be like very deflective, like, you know, to everyone around me kind of thing, because I'd like isolate. I was really good at isolating myself from people. Mm-hmm. But I remember him that same morning being like, "I'm so sorry about like not being very good at communication. Like I'm very." I need to let you know that I'm like a very closed off, guarded person. Mm. And then he was like, oh, well, I'm going to open you up like a little flower. Oh. And I was like, oh, that is so sweet. You're
oh
so.
My God.
And like, just he's someone who's amazing at communication and like a very like loving soul, very down to earth and stuff. So I feel like that's something that I really needed in my life, because it's not a lot of what I was getting in the relationships that I was in. And that was he's moved up to Auckland now.
Amazing.
And we literally spend like every day together. And it's such a like beautiful, fruitful, passionate relationship.
My heart
yeah
is exploding. Okay. Oh, all right. And with all of the wisdom that you have based on all of your experiences, everything that you've just shared with me, what would you tell your younger self?
I would tell my younger self to listen more to your heart, and not be so afraid of like what other people think of you, and yeah, because it doesn't help at the end of the day. You've just got to listen to your heart. Yeah, I mean, very cliche, but
no, but it makes sense. It makes perfect sense, and I think that there's so much like in life, so much like conditioning and people's projections and everything that's just in the way of being able to listen to your heart. And so it's really like admirable and incredible when you're able to like sift through everything and you're able to do that.
I keep swearing. Am I allowed to swear?
Yes,
on this?
Absolutely. You're allowed to swear. You let it rip, sister.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure.
Oh, I've got one more question for you. Oh, yeah. Most important question. What's your favourite finger food?
Every time.
Before you wrap this up.
For God's sake, Stacey. Another one. No. I think my favourite fruit would be a cherry, so I can do that little tongue thing with it. And yes. Then, like they do in the movies, yeah.
Can you do it?
I think I've done it once.
I'm
I don't
so
know.
Impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's quite a talent.
It is a real talent.
It is.
It's a central talent.
It's an essential talent. Yeah.
Essential? Central?
yeah. Essential. Central.
It works, you know, it works. Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, it's been such a joy. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. Excuse my limb sippy. Snotty nose.
Thank you for listening to me blabber on about... Thank you for being my therapist for a day.
No, I have honestly learned so much just sitting here and absorbing all of you and just listening and just, wow. That was fucking amazing.
And your ears hurt from me talking so loud.
They really don't. Everything is just soft and squishy and I just feel really grateful.
It feels really good.
For your vulnerability and your sharing.
Aroha nui.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for dining with Finger Food. If you liked this conversation, you can tip your maitre d' by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing this podcast with your friends. If you want to find more of my podcasts, go to stacyogorman.com. Stay safe, stay sexy. See you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.